Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus. As we enter your word, we enter in with the reverence that your word deserves. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand, and we acknowledge the limitations of our human minds to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into this written word. So we need help, supernatural assistance to decode it. That wisdom may be made manifest by manifestation of the truth. So we ask you to come and help. Anoint me afresh that I would speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. And put the same unction upon me, upon the ears and the hearts of all that will hear me, those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically. So this word will flow freely, Father, from you, through me, to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit will be released in more than sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I would deliver the word, Father, with precision. Redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring it out of the treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving every blessing I mentioned in their own individual life agreed and said, Zion, Nigeria, and the nations. And that's my message, is a prophetic, present truth, cutting edge message for Nigeria for today. I downloaded it by the mercy and the grace of God from heaven this morning. I didn't even know I was going to preach yesterday. Zion, Nigeria, and the nations. And incidentally, when Mommy Sarah came up to pray for Nigeria and spoke about the Joseph blessing upon Nigeria, particularly the blessing of the womb, and that Jesus came from the womb and the man-child came from the womb, and it is the blessing of the man-child that is being transmitted to Nigeria. Zion is symbolic of the perfect church. The Old Testament is full of all kinds of symbolisms or allegories, like Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, talking about Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. In this particular context, we speak of Zion as the perfect church. Then Jerusalem speaks of the church that is baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and Israel speaks of the whole church, will include born again Christians who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit and are not walking in revelation knowledge, you know. And then Jerusalem represents the church that is baptized in the Holy Spirit 30-60-fold, as walking in some degree of revelation knowledge. And Zion is symbolic of the church that is going on to perfection and is operating the principles of perfection. Now you have these three levels of the church, as Jesus himself taught us in the parable of the sower, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. In this context, Zion is symbolic and represents the perfect church. It is particularly significant that God speaks of Nigeria in the context of Zion. Isaiah chapter 18, give it to me in the New King James Version. I will read the first two verses and then jump to verse 7. Everybody pay close attention. Woe to the land, I didn't hear you, shadowed with buzzing wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. I first got this revelation in 1994. I preach it here in Scripture Pasture. Over the years, the revelation has got clearer and clearer and clearer. At that time, I didn't even know that this scripture was in the Bible. It was in the Bible. I read it before, but I didn't know what it meant. It was not until 1994 it was opened up to me that this is talking about Nigeria. Verse 2. Which sends ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of reed on waters, saying, go, swift messengers, to a nation tall and smooth of skin. I'm going to break this down as I go along, you know, because until recently, about 2-3 years ago, this tall and smooth of skin wasn't really clear to us. I knew he was talking about Nigeria, and I often used to think about Nigerian people, but he's talking about the church. The prophetic word has two applications. There is a physical geographic application which speaks of Nigeria, because Nigeria is the only nation beyond the rivers of Ethiopia that is divided by rivers. All other nations have rivers, but they're not divided by the rivers. Only Nigeria is divided by rivers, and as God would have it, in his sovereignty, he allowed Lord Lugard through his mistress, you know, to name Nigeria, Nigeria, which is the area around the Niger, which is the river, and one of the rivers that divides the nation. So Nigeria, this prophetic description fits Nigeria like a glove. The only nation beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, divided by rivers, named after the river. Because that's why it's called Nigeria, the area around the Niger. Give the Lord a clap offering. Only God is so precise you can't miss it. Nigeria, the area around the Niger, the nation divided by rivers. But the second part of the prophetic word moves from the physical into the spiritual. He's not talking about the Nigerian people there. He's not talking about the ordinary Nigerian person. You know you're not tall. Not all of us are tall in Nigeria. And certainly none of us are of a smooth skin. Hello, somebody. So there's no way it can be physical. He's talking about the church. Tall there refers to the stature of the measure of the fullness of Christ. Smooth there refers to the character of the church. Without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. The only thing that is talking is skin. And it is that same skin that is described in Ephesians chapter 5. It says he's coming for a glorious church without spot or blemish. Where do you have spots? Fine boy, no pimples. Hello? Amen? Spots, blemish, or wrinkle. Where do you have wrinkles? Skin. It's exactly the same skin that Isaiah talks about. This is how you will know that the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So this is a symbolic reference to the perfect church. The church of smooth skin. The blemishes are gone. The spots are gone. The wrinkles are gone by the blood, the word, and the spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To a nation. That nation is inside a nation. The physical nation is Nigeria, but then there is another nation inside Nigeria, which is the church, the Zion church. Hallelujah. So to a nation, tall and smooth of skin, to a people terrible from their beginning. This word terrible doesn't mean Nigerians are terrible people. Although that is one interpretation which is correct. Some of our Nigeria are legal. Nigeria. But really, he's talking about the church. He's talking about the Joel's army in the Nigerian church. The Zion church in Nigeria is terrible. Go and read it in Joel chapter 2. It says, the land before them is like the Garden of Eden. Behind them is like a devastating, that nobody can stand before them. This spiritual nation that is moving with the power of God. So that's what he's talking about there. Terrible from their beginning and onward. A nation. Still talking about the church. He's talking about Zion. He's talking about Joel's army. This perfect, tall and smooth of skin church. Powerful. And treading down. Whose land? You know, it goes back to the physical. The rivers divide. See, the Bible is a complex mosaic of the physical and the symbolic and the literal. And it takes the Holy Spirit to rightly divide it. It's taken me 22 years to divide it clearly like this. When I first got, I just knew it was Nigeria. The smooth skin and all that, I didn't understand it initially. You know, it's been progressive revelation. And so here we are. Whose land? This is the physical land now. The rivers divide. But he's talking about the nation, the church, the Zion church. The perfect church, the tall and smooth skinned church, the nation. Hallelujah. Remember, 2 Peter, you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. He's talking about us. Hello, somebody. Now, let's jump to verse 7. I'm not talking to anybody here. In that time, turn to your neighbor and say, which time is that? Oh, say it's the third day. The day of perfection. The day of the glory of the church. And we're in that time right now. In that time shall the present be brought unto the Lord of a people scattered and peeled, of a people terrible from their beginning, hitherto a nation. No. Stay in the New King James. Who told you to go back to the... I was teaching from the... Pray for them up there. All right, wash feet, 70 times 7. I have to practice what I preach. In that time, a present will be brought to the Lord of hosts from a people tall and smooth of skin, the same church, and from a people terrible from their beginning. The word what terrible there just means they are spiritually fierce, not physical. Terrible there means that they're you don't want to come against them because they will overcome you. Amen. Terrible from their beginning, a nation powerful, a powerful church, treading down whose land the rivers divide. Now watch this. See how Zion shocks into this, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, to what? Mount Zion. So this church is in Zion, and it brings a present to God in Mount Zion in Nigeria. As far as I know, I stand to be corrected, and revelation is progressive, so I will never be dogmatic or absolute. As far as I know, up till now, Nigeria is the only nation that has such a clear prophetic description in the scriptures. Of course, Israel is clear, you know. But as far as I know, not even America, not even the United Kingdom. I think they are there too. You know, I've heard people teach about Ephraim and Manasseh being America and England, which is very possible, you know. But it's a little obscure. But Nigeria's one is clear. It's clear. Now, go to Zephaniah chapter 3. We're talking about Zion, Nigeria, and the nations. Zephaniah chapter 3. And I'm going to begin to read from verse 10. Go back to the King James. I'll tell you when I want you to go to the New. Okay, stay in the New King James. New King James is good enough because it's modern and it, you know, some of the things that are obscure in the King. Stay in the New King James. I'll tell you if you need to shift. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Now look at this. This, the Bible says in the mouth of 12 rivers, let every word be established. Isaiah gives a prophetic word hundreds of years before Zephaniah. God did it so that there will be no mistake, no ambiguity. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers. In the King James, it says my suppliants. We're not just talking about worship, we're also talking about prayer. It's what we did yesterday. I'm going to be doing again during the week, you know, during the 3-day fast. You know, suppliants, worshippers. This same Nigeria. The daughter of my dispersed ones shall bring my offering. The daughter there is talking about the church. The daughter of Zion, it's the same thing Isaiah, in Psalm 45. It talks about the daughter of Zion, who is all clothed in gold. He's symbolically talking about the perfect church. The daughter of my dispersed ones shall bring my offering. Verse 11. In that day, same thing Isaiah said, in that time. Here it says in that day. Symbolically the same thing. You shall not be ashamed. I didn't hear you. For any of your deeds in which you transgress against me. For then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride. Let me just say this, judgment is coming home. I spoke about it earlier on during the Bible study about Balaam and covetousness. You know, it seems to be so rampant, it's endemic now in the church. But God's going to uproot it all. Remember, I preached this some weeks ago about the tares. And God said, leave it. He said, didn't you sow good seed? He said, you sowed good seed. He said, where comes tares? He said, while men slept, he said, an enemy has done this. He said, should we root them? He said, don't root them up. Until the time of the harvest. We're in that time now. Judgment is coming to the church. It's going to be so drastic, it'll be 2/3. It says, for every 3 Christians, 2 will be cut off. As it is today. Now, good news. Don't feel, you know. The good news is this. Yes, 2 will be cut off. It doesn't mean they necessarily will go to hell. That doesn't mean it should be one of the 2 that will be cut off. You know. But what it does mean, because God has to press what I will call a reset button. If you look at the church today, it is not without spot. It is not without blemish. It is not without wrinkles. It's full of spots. Hello? I don't want to say I'm looking at some of them. Hello? It is truth. It's full of blemishes. It's full of wrinkles. The churches are today. I don't care where you go, whether you go to America or you come here to Nigeria or you go to England or wherever. The church is full of, you know, we have all kinds of rubbish inside the church. Yet the Bible says he's going to have a glorious church without spot. So how is he going to do it? Exactly how? He's going to cut off 2/3. When he cuts off the 2/3, the remaining 1/3, he will refine them through the fire. Then once they are refined, they will now reproduce after their kind. Then he will now replace the 2/3 that have been cut off with the new ones that will come in. And then he will have a glorious church. Are you listening to me? So this great move of God that is coming is also coming with judgment. It has to. There's no other way it can be done. Because the tares refuse to change. While we were growing up together, the tares and the wheat, the tares have an opportunity to change. That was why God said mercifully, he said, don't uproot them. Let them grow together. Peradventure. And so, that's why he says, I will take away from your midst. Is this cutting off he's talking about? Those who rejoice in your pride. I didn't hear you. You're not part of them now, so you don't be afraid of saying the Bible. I don't know what's wrong with us. We don't like to say what the Bible says. Amen. I'm not the one who said it. It's God who said it. Amen. I'm just a messenger and I will keep saying what God said. For then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride. This morning I was talking about the pride of life. You know, people rejoice in pride. Rejoice in their pride. God says he's going to remove all that rubbish. Are you listening to me? And you shall no longer be haughty. It means we are haughty now. But when this move of God, this power, this manifestation of the glory of God comes to the church, we will no longer be haughty. All that rubbish and pride and haughtiness, God is going to remove it from the church. But look at where it starts, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. But let's go on. You shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. Again, is Mount Zion. He uses the word mount. He uses the word Zion. He uses the word, nation. It's all talking about the perfect church within this nation. Verse 12. And I will live in your midst, a meek and a humble people. Look at the separation. All the proud ones, he removes them. The ones that remain are the meek and the humble. That's why you want to be make sure you are meek and humble now. So when the separation comes, you know that you'll be on the other side. You know what God did in 2003? God just told me to take love and put it on the front burner. We have been teaching love all these years. Then we started praying those prayers. I am meek and I'm lowly in heart. I'm meek. And what are we doing? We are preparing for this. So when the judgment comes to the haughty and to the proud, those who by the word and the spirit have made themselves meek and lowly will survive the coming fire. Because those are the ones that are going to be left. The other ones are going to be taken out. I don't know if anybody is listening to me. And they shall trust in the name of the Lord. These meek and lowly people are going to trust in character. They're going to trust in love. They're going to trust in righteousness. They're going to trust in justice. Are you listening to me? Verse 13. And the remnant of Israel. It means a remnant is a remnant. It means there was something more before. Then they took away a lot. Then what was remaining? And the remnant of Israel shall do no righteousness and speak no lies. This is a refined church. Nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. This speaks of perfect love because it casts out fear. He's talking about the perfect church here. Inside the rivers of Ethiopia. No, inside the land beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The ministers were singing about this morning. Verse 15. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy, the King of Israel, the Lord your God. They sang about it today. Is in your midst, and you shall see disaster no more. The best days of the church are ahead of us. The glory of the latter house is going to be greater than that of the former. All the things that were in the past that used to plague the church, they will be in the past now. In the King James, it says, you will no more see evil. Verse 16. In that day, turn to the neighbor, say, that day is this day. It shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear Zion. Let not your hands be weak. And then the King James says, your hand will not be slack. And that's why we have to be praying now. We have to be strong in the spirit. This is a present day prophetic cutting edge truth. Next verse. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. Hallelujah. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He is now his God who will rejoice over you with singing. It was Kelivana who told us, he said, when the turtle dove start to sing. You know, it's one thing for you to sing. It's another thing for God to sing. Because God will now see his purpose being fulfilled. Then God will be full of joy. Then God will sing. It's happening now. We're right on the verge of it. Verse 18. And I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly who are among you, to whom it is a reproach, to whom its reproach is a burden. You see, there are people, some of us now, we're sorrowing. We're heavy because we don't like what's going on. And there's a burden to us, and then we're praying about it. And he's going to gather us. Verse 19. Behold, at that time, I will deal with all who afflict you. I will save the lame. I will gather those who are driven out. I will appoint for them, I will appoint them for what? Praise and fame in every land where they were put to shame. If you look at the church now, there's a lot of shame. But God is going to turn that captivity around. Hallelujah. And he's going to appoint for us praise and fame. Verse 20, that's closing. And at that time, I will bring you back. Even at that time, I will gather you and I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth, the prince among the nations, which we just spoke about. The blessings of Joseph upon Nigeria. When I return your captives before your eyes, says the Lord. Give the Lord a clap offering. This is a prophetic, present truth description of what God is doing through the Zion Church in the physical nation, Nigeria. Now, let me now come to the nations. Zion, Nigeria, and the nations. Something happened on April the 15th, the year of our Lord, 2014. We've been having terrorism, we've been having Boko Haram, but something unprecedented happened. The Boko Haram went to a girls, federal government girls secondary school in a place called Chibok, and carried away over 100 girls in the middle of the night. That event shook Nigeria to its roots. Not only did Nigeria shake, but the nations of the world, right up to the White House with Michelle Obama and the UN with the Secretary General, all of them, everybody, even David Cameron in England, the whole earth was touched by that event and said, you know, this hashtag, bring back our girls. It so happened that it was the very day of the blood moon. Not one day difference. The beginning of the blood moon tetrad started on April the 15th. It happened to be the Passover night. It is not an accident, because Nigeria was very important in the plan of God. So the Bible tells us that when you will see the signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, there will be distress of nations. As the blood moon started, we saw the distress of the nations. And that distress has increased since 2014. Since 2014 till now, the blood moon finished in September 2015. When it finished, we now entered into a jubilee year, which we are in as I speak, and is about to end, because we are about to enter the Jewish New Year. What happened? Three nations were shaken to their roots. Number one, Nigeria. Nigeria was shaken by that event of the Boko Haram, and the Boko Haram began to increase, and then we had the elections. Nigeria was shaken by that elections, which brought in President Buhari. You know, now Nigeria is being shaken by its economy. The frequency, the intensity of the shaking has increased. But it's not Nigeria alone. Britain, the United Kingdom, was shaken by Brexit. People never expected that it would happen. And up till now, they are still debating how England is going to exit from the Brexit in a way that will minimize the economic ripple effect not only on England, but on America and even all the nations of the world. The Germans and many of the people in Europe have put so much investment in England. You don't just wake up one morning and take everything out. It's not like that. And even Theresa May, the present Prime Minister of England, they are still putting heads together on how to map a course of how to get, you know, how to start this exit from the European. They've said they're going to do it, but how they're going to do it in such a way that will not destroy their economy, and also by a domino effect, the economies of a lot of other nations, both in Europe and even the United States. It's not an easy thing at all. The nations are truly shaking. So, God, what the Bible said, that blood moon signified a clash of the powers in the heavens. And that fight is still taking place as I speak. And there was war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought. And the devil and his angels fought. That fight is going on as I speak. And the effect, you know, in the world we have this saying that when two elephants fight, it is the grass that suffers. Yes, the elephants are fighting the heavens. The nations are suffering the effect. You can see the shaking. It's taking place as I speak. But it didn't stop in England. They now move to the United States. The unthinkable has happened in America. A year ago, when the primary started for this election, people would never have given Donald Trump a chance. I heard him say this personally. I heard it on CNN. Not that somebody said, I heard him say it. He said if he took a gun and he shot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue in New York, in front of everybody, he said people would still vote for him. And he was right. Now, of course, he didn't shoot anybody. But he was saying that it doesn't matter what he does. What kind of confidence is that? I'll say to Yoruba, he showed you last song. The white man will not understand what I've said. So let me interpret. In our language, when our people say Kishoju Lason, what it means, let me tell you the literal meaning. I'll tell you the symbolic, idiomatic meaning. You know, what it means is this. It means that it's not just what you see with your eyes. What our people mean by that is that there is a spiritual force that you cannot see that's behind it. The same thing in America. Go show you last one. For a man to say that if I have a gun and I shoot somebody, he said they will still vote for me. And he did. There is nothing he has not said. I will leave it like that. Yet, he was able to beat all the other contestants. The unthinkable has happened, that somebody like that, without political experience, with all of his, you know, idiosyncrasies, let me just leave it like that, trying to be as nice as I can, you know, could win, and he won. It's an effect of the shaking. This very fact that he has been nominated has shaken America to its roots. And it's still shaking. Top Republicans, not Democrats, people in his own party, top people in CIA, FBI, Department of Defense, about 70 of them, they wrote a petition and said, this man must never become president. He doesn't have the temperament. He is not the kind of person you can put nuclear codes in his hand. A person who will wake up in the middle of the night and send a tweet about a beauty queen. I say all of that to say this is an evidence of the shaking. Three key nations, all our nations are shaking, but three key nations are shaking. Nigeria is shaking, England is shaking, and the US is shaking. Where is the majority of the church on the earth? Those three nations. The evangelical, born-again, spirit-filled church, the pincer, the arrowheads of those churches are in those three nations. It's not an accident. It's not an accident. Satan is very interested. That is why this coming election, we can't play games, though. The unthinkable has already happened. And we must not let the even more unthinkable happen. And to sit by and say it cannot happen is to live in a fool's paradise. He said the only thing that will allow evil to prevail is when good men do nothing. Doing nothing is doing something. By default. I'm not an American. I don't have a vote in America. My daughter and my granddaughter is in America, but she can't vote yet. My son-in-law is in America and he can't vote. But I want to say this to any American who may be listening to this message. Go and register and vote. Don't sit back and say, oh, you know, I'm not interested. You are interested. Because God forbid, if what happens, if the unthinkable happens, it's going to affect you. I don't want to go into speculation, but let me just, because you like, sometimes it's good to try and paint a reality to people. I know a little bit of history. I'm not a historian by training, but you know, I read a lot about history. I like history. History is actually God's story. All the major wars that happened did not happen by deliberate design. They happened by accidental things that people did, and different nations had to respond. In particular, in World War I, somebody was killed in Sarajevo. One nation started, another nation started. Before they knew it, it escalated. World War II, yes, Germany had ambitions to conquer. Hitler wanted to make Germany great again. He mapped out a plan for the complete occupation of Europe. It wasn't he had case white, case yellow. He had planned everything, but he was afraid. This is a true story. Many people don't know this aspect of the truth. You know, he knew he wasn't 100% strong enough, and he couldn't, but he wanted to test the ground. This is what happened. In 1939, September, he told a small force, or a small group of his officers who were on the Polish border. He said that they should fire artillery from the Polish side into the German side and make it look like it was the Polish who did it. That man was diabolical. Then he said that they will now march into Poland as an act of retaliation to what the Poles did. But the officers who were on the front, because some of them, you know, survived the war, they were telling us this story later on. The German officers of the Wehrmacht who were in charge of that was, were given strict instructions that if the English or the French began to move, they should retreat immediately back into Germany. Sadly, this is what happened. It was the Germans who did it. They sent in some underground forces. Those ones fired from Poland. And then he now sent in his troops. 5 hours, 6 hours, the British didn't move. The French didn't move. He said, they're not ready to fight. Then he went on. Had they moved, he would have withdrawn. The British were still talking about peace. Chamberlain was in England, the Prime Minister at that time, peace in our time, and they were still talking grammar. German forces have moved into Poland. If by 12 o'clock, you know, 24 hours time, they don't withdraw their forces, then England will be in a state of war between, there will be a state of war between, he said it was all talk. They had the RAF. The French had a stronger air force than the Germans at the beginning of the war. Had they moved, Hitler would have run back. That's what you do to bullies. He was testing the waters. We have another bully to be. It must not happen. And this one is not forces, it's nuclear weapons. I don't know if you understand. I don't think we understand. See, the conventional wars of the 1930s and the 1940s, first nuclear bomb was done in 1945. And since then, we're listening to FBI, CIA director yesterday on CNN, there has been no nuclear exchange since then. Putin in Russia said recently that he's a nuclear power and there are no cards he's taking off the table. That if he needs to defend himself, he could use it. He didn't say he would, he just said he could. No leader has said that in recent times. A mistake in a nuclear exchange cannot be taken back. It's not like conventional war. You cannot have a person who just gets angry because somebody said the color of his hair was white. Once you release it, he's gone. You can't turn it back. Or he says something in a meeting, in a UN meeting with some other leaders. The Chinese are there, the Russians are there, and some other people who also have nuclear weapons. The Indians are there, the Pakistanis are there, and someone just goes to insult somebody and say something, and now it just gets angry. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words. And now, bang! Once he's done it. Then the other side is forced to retaliate. Once it starts, there is no end to it. I've just painted Satan's plan for you. It must not happen. He knows what he's doing. None of them is going to sit down one day and say, I want to do a nuclear war. No. But by the interplay of spiritual forces and acting on a person who does not have the temperament, he's trying to set up a situation where a nuclear exchange can take place, and guess who is the target? The church. I don't sit down in Nigeria and say, I mean, Nigeria is far away. You know nothing about radiation. That's why he didn't do physics. You do not, the Nagasaki and Hiroshima, the bombs we have today are 1,000 times, some of them are 10,000 times as powerful as the one. Let me paint a scenario to you. It will not happen in Jesus' name. You're in Ibadan. You think you are far away. If a nuclear bomb was dropped even in Togo, we call it the mushroom. It's called a thermonuclear. The temperature at the epicenter goes to millions of degrees of centigrade. Celsius. At that kind of temperature, that's the temperature that's inside the sun. You can't dodge. You can't hide. You just melt. Within the first about a 3-mile radius. But that's not the end of it. That's the initial, this thing. Then it goes up like a mushroom cloud. Then it spreads for hundreds of miles in every direction, carrying a radiation wind. When it hits you, you wouldn't even know you're hit, because you're far away from the epicenter. But it's going to start affecting your bones. It's going to start affecting your eyes. God forbid, your children, unborn. They're still having problems with the people in Nagasaki. And he, up till today, 45 years, over 50 years later. Now imagine having about 3 or 4 of those. This one got angry and sent his own. 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 You don't need more than about 10 for the whole world to be destroyed. Let nobody fool you. That's what Martin Luther King Jr. said over 50 years ago. Say, let nobody fool you. If there is a nuclear exchange, everything will just vanish. That's why we must not have a madman in the wrong place. In our language, we have a saying, Orabo. And so from Muluabi, Dobadenu Adodin, Mo Purukani Kokon, Mo Deni Solo Ibu. Oku Kudiye. Hello, Maje. Amila. The shaking. The nations are shaking right now. But I have good news. Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. Verse is from verse 7. I'm getting ready to close. This is a prophetic word given by the prophet Haggai. And then Paul quotes it later on in Hebrews. But I want to stay with this one because this is the one God gave to me to share with you. I will shake all nations. This is already happening. I've already described it to you. And the blood moon signified the beginning. We've all been shaking before, but there was a significant starting point with the blood moon. That was why God allowed it to coincide with the abduction of the Chibok girls that sent ripple effect over the whole world. This in Luke chapter 21 verse 25, it calls it distress of nations. Here it's called shaking, same thing. It's happening as we speak now. The good news is, I will shake all nations, and they who, the nations, will come to the desire of all nations. Woo! It is the manifestation of the sons of God that will save the nations from the shaking. That is why we have now reached a crescendo point where the manifestation of the sons of God must happen now. Because that is the place of refuge. That is why the nations will now go. They will now, what they say, is that they shall come to the what? Desire. We know it's Jesus, but it's Jesus in us. He will come to that, and watch this. They will come to desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple. Look at the way he's using language. He calls desire of nations, and he switches to temple. This is a church. It's a church. And I will fill this temple with what? Glory, says the Lord of hosts. So it is the glory of God inside the church that will be the desire of all nations, that the nations will come to and will be saved from their shaking. Are you following me? It so happens, as God will have it, not
by my own plan. It was God's plan before I was even thought of in my mother's womb. God had already planned it, that the first of the first of the first fruits of that Zion church will come from the nation beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, which the rivers divide. You can see that from the other scriptures I showed you. Isaiah 18 and Zephaniah chapter 3. So that's why I call it Nigeria, Zion, Nigeria, and the nations. Nigeria is a focal point from which Zion, the first, it won't be Nigeria alone, but initially the first of the first fruits will come out of Nigeria, and that will now cause the nations to have a place of refuge from this present shaking, because the shaking is happening because of the war that is going on in the heavens. But then we will prevail. He says, and the angels and the dragon and his angels fought. And Michael and his angels fought. And then there was no more place found for them in the heavens. And they say, now is come salvation and strength and the power of his Christ that will save the nations. That's where we're standing right now. That's the next theater of operation. And I will fill this temple with glory. The glory of God will come to the temple, which will be the desire of all nations. Then verse 8. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 9. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, and says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give what? From what? The shaking. Keep in his context. I will give peace from the shaking. He says, the glory of this latter end time church will be greater than the one of the Acts of the Apostles. Hallelujah. You see, the Acts of the Apostles church, even though it was a great church and it shook the Roman Empire, it was not the whole world. It was the whole world that was known then. America had not even been discovered. Columbus had not been born. All they knew as the world then was Europe, Middle East, Asia, Syria, you know, that's all. Even Africa, all they knew was North Africa. They didn't even know all the other place beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Nobody had ever explored that place yet. Mungo Park had not been born. Oh yes. So that church was a powerful church. It shook the Roman Empire, but this one will shake the whole world. Give the Lord a clap offering. We're living in a global village now. Hallelujah. What I'm preaching in Nigeria now is being heard in England and in America in real time. We will shake the whole world. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. I'm just going to add this in free of charge, and then I'll go to the next scripture as I begin to close. And it is this. You can see that the glory spoken of there is the glory of God, the cloud and the power and the manifestations of the power of God, but it also includes money. For those of you who like a prosperity message. Hallelujah. It's a part of the message. Are you listening to me? Note he said the silver is mine. The gold is mine. Hallelujah. The church will become the most powerful financial institution on the earth. What Mommy was saying today about the blessings of Joseph. When Mommy began to pray that prayer, I said to her, I said, do you know what the blessing of Joseph is? It's actually the blessing of the perfect church. You know why? Joseph received the double portion. Only the firstborn used to get the double portion. But because Reuben had committed incest with his father's wife, he lost the blessing. So the blessing of Reuben was now given to Joseph. And that's why Joseph now became a prince amongst his brothers. So this blessing of Joseph is actually for the man child. That is why Nigeria can drink of it, because Nigeria is destined to be the first, to be the nation where the first of the first fruits of the man-child company will arise. And so, by consequence of their geographical position, they will allow Nigeria to drink of the blessings of from above, of the earth beneath, of the breast and of the womb. Glory be to God. Are you listening to me? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So prosperity, material prosperity, is going to be a very big part of this move. Because we're going to need billions of dollars. Yay, trillions. When I was a kid, millionaires were the big thing around. Aristotle Onassis, J. Paul Getty. Those were the guys we used to think were really rich. I still remember reading Paul Getty's book, you know, in 1978, 77. And he had $100 million. And we thought he had a lot of money. Today, we're not talking in millions anymore. We're not talking in billions. Tomorrow, we'll be talking in trillions. Today, now, we don't have, except of course in Nigeria with the devaluation, you know, they steal billions and they try and steal trillions, but they haven't got to that level yet. Amen. You only hear of governments, you know, doing budgets in trillions now. But the day is coming, and now is, where individuals will start owning trillions. When an individual owns trillions, he can lend to nations. He can lend to nations. It's coming. It's a part of the message. Not just free of charge. Amen. But don't concentrate on that. You concentrate on the man child. In Jesus' name. I have trillions in Jesus' name. No man child, no trillion. No perfection, no trillion. Isaiah chapter 25. I go close. We've got two more scriptures, so three. This same truth is echoed there about the desire of all nations. Isaiah 25 and verses 6 through 9. Stay in the King James this time. If I need you to move to the New King James, I will tell you. Isaiah 25. And in this mountain, turn to your neighbor and say, which mountain? Say Mount Zion, the perfect church. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, in the nation with the rivers divide. We saw that in Isaiah 18. It's the first of first fruits, of course. It's not going to be localized to Nigeria alone. It's going to spread all over the whole world. But the first of the first of the first fruits will come from Nigeria. So in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make a feast unto Nigerians. All people, this is the place of peace. This is how the nations that are shaking are going to be delivered. Unto what? All people. I didn't hear you. A feast of what? Fat things. A feast of wines upon the lees. Of fat things full of marrow. Of wines on the lees. Well, he's talking about fine revelation knowledge. Look at what kind of thing. By the mercy and the grace of God. And I say to the glory of God. And like Paul said, I yet not I, but the grace of God which is within me. Look at the kind of thing I just shared with you this morning. Just now. You know, from Isaiah 18, where you can remove the physical and the spiritual and see how they are interconnected. That's fine, well refined. Next verse. And he will destroy in this mountain, this same Mount Zion, the face of the covering cast over what? Especially in the US right now. There's something blocking the eyes of a lot of people in that country. If you look at the voting pattern, you wonder, can they read? My wife was saying something, I'd be somebody who is even, you know, who was even endorsed by Ku Klux Klan. You would have thought that kind of thing would just complain. Everybody would run away from that. Somebody who said, if I shoot somebody, people would say, an enemy has done this. But we will break that veil. And their eyes will open. Hallelujah. November is just around the corner. Glory be to God. We will see the glory of God. Hallelujah. That is spread over all nations, including America, including England, including Europe. The kind of spiritual darkness that exists in Europe and even in the UK. Now, it's unprecedented. You know, you go to a shop. You know, you buy something and say, God bless you. They'll just look at you. It happened to us recently. I said, God bless you. In America, The same thing happened. We were in a shop in America just a few days ago, you know. And I just, well, you know, my wife was, you know, talking to the person. We're buying something, you know. And we said, God bless you. God bless you. Now one, you know. Because, you know, in America, there are more. Said, even my brother is a pastor. God bless you.
And everything they have, they owe God. What made them great? It was God. And the God who made them great, they now turn their back on him. They now say, there is no God. But that veil will be removed. Hallelujah. That is spread over all nations. Verse 8. And he will swallow up death in victory. He will wipe away all the tears. He will remove the rebuke of his people from the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. Verse 9. And I'm going to close. And it shall be said, in that day. Turn to your neighbor and say, that day is this day. That time is this time. Lo, this is our God. We have what? Waited for him. The nations are waiting for us. And he will what? Save us. This is the Lord. We have what? Waited for him. And we will be glad and we will rejoice in his salvation. That's how the nations are going to be saved from the shaking. Because I got news for you. If this shaking continues, it will not continue. If it goes beyond what it is now, the world as we know it will be destroyed. That's why men's hearts are failing them. What's going to happen again tomorrow? The unthinkable is already happening. I saw something in Time magazine the other day. I didn't say it because of the children in church. You know, I couldn't believe it. It's not darkness, it's gross darkness. We must arise. Now, I want to give you two more scriptures as I close. Malachi chapter 3. I mentioned it earlier on today, but it's very important now because of what I want to say. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. In closing now, we've heard about Nigeria. We've heard about Zion, Nigeria, and the nations, and the shaking of the nations. Now, what is my own part as an individual? Mommy said yesterday, change starts with me. What part are you and I playing now as individuals, firstly, and then collectively as a church, as a sample, as a critical mass to cause these things to come into manifestation? And this is where we get the answer. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. This speaks about the prophetic and the apostolic. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall what? Suddenly come to his temple. There is going to be a sudden manifestation of the power and the glory of God, similar to what happened at Pentecost, but far greater. They were sitting in the upper room. They were praying in one accord. And on when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Bible says there was a mighty rushing wind from heaven. And suddenly, it was a suddenly. In the same way, we're going to experience another suddenly. Any day now, I'm expecting it. I'm in full expectation. Because all the other prophetic conditions have been fulfilled or are being fulfilled. There will be a sudden coming of the glory of God to the church. It's not going to be in everybody at once. It will be like 120. That sample that we had in the upper room. It will be like that, just a few people. Then from there, it will begin to spread all over the rest of the church. And it will not only be Nigeria, then it will spread beyond Nigeria to the ends of the earth. But there's going to be a starting point. And he says, the Lord whom you seek, I didn't hear you, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger. The first messenger is prophetic. The second messenger is apostolic. You know, a messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come. This is Jesus, but Jesus coming in us, like we've been explaining since morning. Now, I want to ask you a question. It's like comprehension in English. To whom shall the Lord come suddenly? Look at that verse very carefully.
I'll tell you the answer. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come. He will only come to those who are seeking. He's not going to come to everybody. Scripture. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the word? Holy Spirit. To them that ask him. Of course, we already have the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, but we are seeking now the Spirit without measure. It is those who are seeking it that he will come to. If you are not seeking it, you're not going to have it. You will be a participator, you will not be a spectator. You will be a spectator, you will not be a participator. So you must be active. Like I've taught you this months ago, over a year ago, that you should be praying on a regular basis for the manifestation of Spirit without measure. The cluster prayers. Don't take your eye off the ball. The Lord whom you seek. It is those who are seeking that the Lord will come to. Now, that's not all. I'm going to close. Next verse. And who may abide? The day of his coming. Who shall stand when he appeareth? You know, we talked about the two-thirds. And that he's going to remove the pride. He's not there. This thing, when he comes, it's a two-edged sword. Glory on one hand, judgment on the other. Who shall stand when he appears? Who can abide? This is not Pentecost. He's talking prophetically about tabernacles and the glory of God. Who will stand? Who can? Because that glory, when it comes, is going to remove the wood, the hay, the stubble. He's going to remove all the junk that is inside the church, the blemishes and the spots and all of that. Who shall stand? I got good news. It's not difficult. Watch and pray always that I may be able to end the story. If you are watching and praying, you will stand. If you are not watching and praying, start watching and praying so that you can stand. Let us pray. It's as simple as that. He's coming. It's as certain. Hosea chapter 6 verse 2 and 3. I didn't go there. He says, his coming is established. It's as certain as the morning. Give it to me. Hosea chapter 6. Give it to me in the New King James. Hosea chapter 6, I think it's verse 2. It says, after 2 days, then in the third day, that's where we're in now. Next verse. Yes. Look at it. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on. That's what we're doing. Pressing toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. As surely as the sun rises, he will what? Appear. Make sure you're watching and praying. When he appears, you can stand. Let's talk to God, everybody. Talk to God. Watch and pray. Once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, stay in constant tune with the Lord throughout the day. He may come at midnight, he may come at cockcrow, he may come in the morning, he may come at noon, nobody knows. Jesus himself didn't know on the day of the wedding feast of Cana of Galilee. He got up that morning, he didn't know it was that morning. They went to a party, he did not know it was going to be at the party. When his mommy said there was no wine, he said, I don't know, what are you talking? My time is not yet come. He didn't even know. If Jesus didn't know, trust me, you and I will not know. But we can be ready. Watch and pray always that you'll be able to stand when the glory comes. The good news is there's always room for people to change. The day of Pentecost, everything did not end with 120. There was a spread to 3,000, and it spread to the 5,000. The same thing is going to happen now. It's going to keep spreading. So people will have a chance to, you know, but you don't want to wait for that. You do the right thing now. You're hearing the truth. Lest you become the first that became last, and the last who become, and others will come who are last will become first. You don't want that to happen to you. Who shall stand? Who shall stand?
Who shall stand when he appears? Those who watch and pray. Watch and pray that you may be accounted worthy to stand. To stand. Having done all to stand, stand. Nigeria. Zion, Nigeria, and the nations. As I speak, the nations are shaking. And they're looking for a savior. They don't know. They don't understand it. This is our God. We have waited for him. Surely God is indeed. That's what's going to save for this coming election in America. There must be a man. That's why we're praying the way we're praying. If we don't pray, God forbid. God forbid. The unthinkable must not happen. The unthinkable has already happened that we thought could not happen. So we know that it is so critical. Talk to God. Get yourself ready, folks. The hour is upon us. And it's starting from Zion in Nigeria. And it will save Nigeria and it will save many nations of the world. The desire of the nations shall come and all nations shall flow into it, according to Isaiah chapter 2. And we are now a people prepared, made holy and clean by the blood of the Lamb.
Watching and praying
for Jesus' return.
Preparing
our hearts like a bride getting ready.
Preparing our hearts
like a bride getting ready.
We now drink
from the water of life in the city where the Lord is the light.
We hear you say
you are coming soon.
Shame.
Lord,
and shame.
Keep waiting.
My favorite songs, because it is so prophetically accurate. And you know, here in Scripture, Pastor, by the grace and the mercy of God, without me, I didn't know this song before until a few years ago when I started singing it. Just fulfilling it, you can see our present emphasis on the blood. We're not clean because of what we do, we're clean by the blood. It's the blood will now make us do the right things. And then the drink of the water of life. There's a strong emphasis. Exactly what we're doing. Mommy has been emphasizing that Deuteronomy 30 in recent times. Choose life. What are you doing? You're drinking of the water of life in the city where the God is the light. We're making ourselves ready like a bride that is getting ready, preparing our hearts. Using the blood, using the life, using the power of the spirit and the bride, they say, come. We are fulfilling these scriptures to the letter. It's not an accidental, and I didn't plan it. We're just following the word, and we now found that we are fulfilling the scripture. That's why I've asked you to hold your ear. The Holy Ghost just whispered to me, he that hath an ear. Jesus said that thing so often. He said it in his parables, then he said it in the book of Revelation to the churches. And he's saying it again to us today. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit... Everybody touch your ear. Fareleti. In Yoruba, that means pull your own ear. No one will pull it for you. You pull it by yourself. He that hath an ear, say, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Oh Lord, let me hear. Oh Lord, let me hear. Oh God, let me hear what the Spirit is presently saying. So I will not miss the day of this great visitation. Oh God, oh God, oh God, let me hear. Open my ears, open my eyes to see the invisible. Open my ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Help me, help me, help me to watch and pray always, once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, with my thoughts and my actions in every temptation, so I will be ready, so I will stand. When he appears, nekatolo moshaka tufrideka, leprime stafridi kitufrines, leprakashali katufrines, Zefrikitoloma shangi tofrines. Lopriki tufriningi toska. Lika noske. Joki kokoroto toloma. Zeki tufrininga tulomas. Zefrikitolomas. Zefria. Lopriki tuske frine. Loprines shaya. Yukutufre. Zufriningas. Zofride. Lambriki tuske frine. Lambrika matulomas. Shaki. Zofridia. Liki tufrines. Zifridia. Lokerdoske frines. Lokerdogomashala. Lambriki tufrines. Tolomangar tolomas. Shaki. Tufridia. Nongre dolomas shuko. Zufridias. Tolomangar dolomasha. Talama tulum tufri dufrishe. Tokloma tulomashai. Yuku tulomaka klama tulum tufrishe. Zafri yaklamatars. Sufri dolomasha. Yak tufrines. Dufridias. Jiki tufres. Nikrolos. Zufrinis. Jiki tufres. Lombra dalas. Zifrinis. Nunki tufres. Zufrines. Jiki tufrines. Lukur delas. Tufrines. Tufrinis. In Jesus' name, put one hand on your body. Raise your hand to God as we pray for our healing and health. Healing is so important. The purpose of it is so that our bodies will be strong, so we can do all the fasting, the praying, and later on the missionary work that we're going to have to be doing all over the world. I've seen us. In my heart, in my spirit, this church is going to be a mission church. We will have planes and helicopters. We'll be going to different parts of the earth. Weekly, monthly, there will be different teams. Some will go, come back. Another one will go, they will come back. Another one will go, they will come back. But taking the glory of God to the ends of the earth. You have to be strong. You have to be healthy. If you're not strong, you're not healthy, you can't do it. You can't even carry the glory. The glory is called a heavyweight. The weight of His glory. A body that is not strong can't carry it. Moses carried the glory. Your health is very important. It's not just so that you can be strong and healthy and do some silly things you want to do. It's so that you can fulfill the purpose of God. Touch that body. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. I say, Lord, have mercy on us as we pray for our healing. I say, by the stripes of Jesus and His resurrection life and power, I am healed. Sickness and disease do not have. I say they do not have. I say they do not have a legal right in my body because Jesus himself took my infirmities, He bore my sicknesses, He carried my pains. They have no right in my body and I will not permit them in the name of Jesus. And so I release resurrection, healing, life and power into my entire body from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I say what God's word says, that it is life to me and medicine to all my flesh, in my heart, in my liver, in my kidneys, in all my internal organs, in my blood vessels, in the DNA of every cell of my body. I say, function error-free. My immune system, I speak to you in the name of Jesus. I say, operate error-free in Jesus' name. I declare, I keep the laws. I live in divine healing and health. I keep the laws of hygiene, natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest in Jesus' name. Amen. Lika toloma shala pertofrides. Zifriki tofridi angalas. Loprika tuske frenengas. Jeleki tofrininga tolomas. Zofridia lambraka tuske fridi. Nenge toloma shali ketofres. Lopridika tofrines. Zelika Yukutufrininga. Lombre dolomotushke free. Lambre gamatushke free. Nogaras tufrini. Langaratus tufriniga tuska. Andulo limbre dolomotask. In Jesus' name, your best days are ahead of you. Amen. The glory of your latter days are going to be greater than the glory of your former days. Amen. Believe that. Your best years are ahead of you. Amen. What you've got so far is nothing compared to what is in front of you. I've just outlined the plan of God for us as individuals, for the church, for Nigeria, and for the nations of the world. God is going to use the Zion Church to save the world from this shaking. Then we will preach the gospel of the kingdom to all nations. Then after we've done our bit, then we go. Those who are accepted will go with us. Those who are not accepted, then they will really know who the devil is when we have gone. He says, he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. We're here now. Get the job done.